I'm going to tell you the story of the Sounds of Iona, because it's an island that's meant a huge amount to me all my life. I've visited it since I was wee, and I know I'm not alone in that. It's a legendary island, and it's one that's inspired religious and non-religious people to make the pilgrimage for centuries. St. Columba, of course, all those years ago, arriving on this island. But I think, possibly for me, what's so poignant about Iona is the sort of pilgrimage you have to make to it, even if you're not religious. You have to go miles, because it's an island beyond an island. You get on this really unlikely ferry, and there's all these sort of normal commercial ferry noises, like, you know, don't go to the loo anymore, you're about to get off, or whatever those noises are, and the tug, 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 you know, the kind of metallic tug that a ferry makes, but all in miniature, because I think it only can fit on two cars. And then you contrast those quite kind of man-made sounds with this epic vision in front of you. You know, if you get that amazing West Coast light, you know, the kind of fingers of God piercing the clouds down on the Abbey, on top of the mighty granite structure that is the Abbey. It's been kicking around since the 12th century. There is this resplendent solitary bell, which calls out with a bong, bong, bong. But even better, proving there's a hierarchy, always a hierarchy when it comes to religion, is on the same island, there's the wee kirk, the Church of Scotland, and they've also got a solitary bell, but it doesn't go bong, it goes cling, cling, cling. And it's like, I don't know, for some reason, it's like this kind of beautiful chime contrast. So I kind of like those two bells. And you have to walk about half a mile, and you get to what's called the Hill of the Angels. And the legend has it that St. Columba, when he was on the island, went up to the top of the Hill of the Angels to pray. And one of his monks came out and saw the shaft of light beam down onto him when he was praying. And it's ever since then really been a sort of place of pilgrimage. And then the legend has it that if you're really quiet on the Hill of the Angels, you can hear the fairies. The fairies. But it was nighttime. It's the middle of the night. And absolutely inky black, in the way that you don't get really anywhere in Britain. And that blanket black meant that the sounds that there were, which really was just a kind of breeze across the grass and the ever-present sense of water. It wasn't a windy night, but you can hear water because Iona's so small, there's water all around you and you can't see anything. And it really heightens that sense of your vulnerability as a human against these huge elements. And also, people always go on about the white sands of the West Coast and just the really gentle lap of the sea onto these white sands. Not a big wave, not on a big wave day, but on a really quiet day, just that really reassuring curl of the water onto the white sands. I find that really moving, actually, something about it. And also because the Sound of Iona has claimed a few lives, you know, even recently. And yet there it is, so beguiling and kind of appealing, this lap, this gentle lap onto the sand, like it could do no harm at all. We don't live in the present enough and we don't hold the moment. And it's good to do that when you get the chance.